why don't we get started? Again, I'll welcome everyone to tonight's PPS Success Mentor teleclass series. As I said, my name is James Phelps, and in addition to being your host for our call, I'm also the PPS Success Educational Coordinator. This evening, we're fortunate to have with us, once again, the owner and founder of East-West Healing and Performance, Josh Rubin, who will be talking with us about healthy parenting of self and others. For those of you just joining us for the first time, I'd like to say a few words about our guest. Beyond his work at East-West Healing and Performance, Josh is a Czech Level 4 practitioner, Czech HLC Level 3, and a member of the Czech faculty. And in addition to all of this, he's pursuing his degree in osteopathy, so Josh really draws on a diverse breadth of knowledge in his practice. If after the call you want to learn more about Josh and the services he offers, I invite you to visit his mentoring page located in the PPS mentoring section of our website at ppssuccess.com. You can also visit Josh's website at www.eastwesthealing.com. Now, before we begin, I'll remind everyone that we do record these calls, so if you happen to be in a high-traffic area or you're on a cell phone that might pick up some echo effects, I recommend that you mute your line until you have a question by pressing *6, and then if you want to join in the conversation or you have a question, you can unmute your phone at any time by pressing any button on your phone pad. So with those few details out of the way, welcome, Josh. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks. It's glad to be back. It's been a couple months, I think.
And, yeah.
It's always fun doing these calls, and at the same time, if people have questions, don't be afraid to chime in. I know they're pre-recorded, so a lot of people probably just listen to them, but if you do have questions, don't be afraid to chime in. You know, sometimes talking to dead air for an hour gets a little bit monotonous. And then if you're listening to this and you get questions, feel free to visit my website or pop me an email and can answer your questions from there. So today we're going to be talking about appropriate parenting of self and others. You know, that's a pretty gigantic topic. We're going to go over kind of bullet points in the next hour, touch upon each one, get you to really start thinking. You know, because when it comes to healing yourself, you know, you can't just do all this external work and, you know, find your purpose and get to that healing place. You need to kind of acknowledge what's going on within in order to get to that healing place. So by going over the, you know, each little part of this, just in brief, will hopefully spark some internal flame in people to help them acknowledge, you know, maybe their inappropriate parenting that they're doing of self and others. Because we have appropriate and we do have inappropriate. You know, many people learn, you know, from their childhood the illusion of power through parenting others through what's called compliance or defiance. This we learn from our parents. We learn it basically, you know, if our parents want us to be good, well, we act good. If our parents want us to be bad in a sense, that might sound a little crazy, well, we act bad. We defy or go against them in order to get our needs met or get their needs met to get their attention. But as we grow up, you know, we still believe that seducing ourselves or seducing others through this inappropriate parenting is necessary in order to get our emotional needs met. And that's kind of where inappropriate parenting comes into play. But we're going to learn kind of how to look beyond that, how to become conscious and acknowledge what's going on inside, how to understand this, and also understand the consequences of parenting yourself and of parenting others. Because that's the only way we can really learn, correct? Through consequences. You know, we can't go through life and say, I had a perfect childhood, my parents are perfect, I'm perfect, because there's just no way. And if people say that, those are the people that are typically the ones that go through life with inappropriate parenting. So we learn through our consequences. That's what we're going to touch upon. But we can also learn this appropriate parenting. So we're going to look at the purpose of nurturing from parenting and the nature of parenting first. So what is nurturing? Nurturing is that neediness that we need. It's coming from a place of dependence, like from an external source. You know, we get that from our parents, from our mother. A lot of times mostly from the feminine energy in the tribe. And the feminine energy can be the mother, can be female, but also can come from other people, such as yourself or your father. we get parented from our mother and father, and this is where, you know, there's the feminine and masculine energy. So we're always getting parented, and this is where we learn as we grow older, but also as a child, how to do it inappropriately or appropriately. So we learn from our mother. We'll just stick with a mother as being feminine right now. This is where we learn, you know, the gentle, how to be compassionate, how to be soft, how to be recognized. Well, the feminine energy of the mother is there to inspire us, right? Mothers are there to inspire us. They invite us to play, right? They invite us to walk. They invite us to talk. They nurture us to basically be who we are. That's the appropriate side of it. And then we have the masculine side of it, which, of course, we can say is the male. If we want to stick with masculine and male, that's a source typically where we get validation from. We get validation from our father. We get that acknowledgement. We get that valuing in our relationship. So we're always getting that yin, feminine, yang, masculine energy from both our parents. Now, keep in mind, we'll touch upon, you'll hear me say here and there that, you know, sometimes as you grow up, you miss one of those, either because you didn't have a father, you didn't have a mother, or, you know, the father was still there but emotionally absent, or vice versa with the mother. At the same time, if we look at inappropriate parenting coming from the place of the ego or our own neediness, so sticking with the mom and the dad, well, the inappropriate way would be, you know, a mother wanting us to walk for her in a sense. And if we look at that, that's quite common nowadays. You know, it's whose child can walk the fastest. You know, our mother wants us to talk for her or to do things for her. And this is inappropriate parenting because it's not for us to discover ourselves through our parents, but it's appropriate for us to discover ourselves through ourselves. So when the mother does it inappropriately, right, to get her own needs met, because if we walk before everyone else, then it gets the mother's own needs met, well, this allows the mother to get our own needs met through herself. And then we don't actually learn to discover our own self or to know our own self. Because we're not walking for our own being. We're not talking for our own, you know, being. We're doing it for the parent. And the mother should be there, like I said, to inspire us. You know, the mother should inspire us to walk, inspire us to talk, and inspire to do things for ourselves, but not for her. Now, with the father, we talked about this validation. You know, the father is there to cheer for us. He's there to tell us how great we are, how happy he is, he's our father, you know, that we got an A in school, you know, son, I'm so proud of you, you know, and on and on and on. That's typically how it goes. But that's you living through your father, right, to get that validation so your dad, you know, emotionally and spiritually can essentially pat himself on his back, right? So that would be inappropriate parenting coming from the masculine or feminine energy, right? But the real purpose of a mother is to teach us how to inspire, and the real purpose of our father is to teach us how to cheer for ourselves. Okay, so remember that as we go through this. So at the same time, appropriate parenting, when it comes from a place of nurturing, it's a process of teaching the human ego to feel valued, acknowledged, safe, and how to know self. And this is through inspiration, like we talked about, the feminine energy, and validation through the masculine energy. It allows the human ego, you know, when we talk about the human ego is there to create safety. The human ego doesn't like change. You know, our goal is to not abolish the ego. Our goal is to learn from our ego. And there's many schools of thought on that. But it's to allow the human ego to have a sense of belonging, a sense of existence to the tribe. So our job as parents is to teach children to parent themselves in order to become more interdependent, right? Interdependence means to get their own needs met through themselves, to self-discover themselves, or the ability to nurture oneself from within, right? So our job as parents is to teach our children to parent themselves through interdependency, not codependency. Now, if you look at the definition of codependency, that's an attachment to another person. And we see that in all tribes, when we say tribe families nowadays. We see it with the husband to the wife to the husband, and we see it with the children to the parents or children to siblings. Another key point is we our goal as parents is to experience giving and taking, as well as giving and receiving. And this is a pretty big one, and I'm going to touch upon this more so from a place that I learned from doing a lot of self-exploration, because, you know, in my first marriage, one of the reasons why I learned, to become honest with myself was because my ex-wife and my relationship was all about giving and taking. It wasn't about giving and receiving. So when you give and receive or give and take, there's a huge difference, right? When something's given to you out of neediness, you take it with gratitude, correct? Without gratitude. So that would be giving and taking. And that happens quite often nowadays. You know, when we talk about parenting, it doesn't always have to be mom and dad and kid. It can be you and a loved one. And with me, you know, I'll share this, when it came to, you know, making love with my wife, it was a give and take, right? My wife always thought that I was, you know, taking from her when we would make love. She didn't feel like I was giving and it was a receiving relationship. And when you give from a place of giving and receiving, you give it to someone, they accept it with gratitude, versus when you give and take, you give it to someone out of their own neediness and they take it without gratitude, right? So you're essentially getting your own needs met by giving someone something. And a perfect example of this is, you know, most people will give a gift, or we'll give a birthday card, or, you know, give gifts at Christmas. And we do this as more of a give and take. We only do it, most people, I assume, do it because they want to get that phone call and say, oh, Josh, thanks for that beautiful gift. It was wonderful. And the interesting thing is, next time you give someone a card, or someone gives you a card or a gift, don't call them. See what happens. And you'll know if someone gave it to you at a place of gratitude or without gratitude. You know, giving and receiving versus giving and taking. So our mothers and fathers are supposed to give and receive, not give and take. But today, we look at most kids. Kids expect things. They expect things out of neediness. I mean, if you look at this generation, in my opinion, they're completely screwed. Right? Most kids nowadays are completely arrogant. Huge entitlement, and they come from a place of neediness, and they only expect things from their parents, right? And what happens with that is you become the enabler as a parent. And what happens after that? The kid wants more and more and more. And as Paul says, as a lot of spiritual, you know, gurus say, that, you know, behind every addict, there's an enabler. And when we say addict, that doesn't just necessarily mean alcohol, doesn't necessarily mean drugs. Right, we can be addicted or have an ism to almost anything, correct? You can be addicted to work. You can be addicted to not being at home. It doesn't really matter, but behind that is always an enabler. We have to look at where that's coming from. So when we give and take as well, taking is from a place of codependence, and we talked about codependence. Codependence is any attachment to another person or thing. So when we take from a place of codependence, right, that's taking without gratitude, it's getting your needs met through others for your own benefit. And that's kind of like what I talked about. People will give a card or a birthday card, and they wait for that call for that big thanks. And a prime example of this, you know, I'm an observer, and I love my family, and I just kind of observe what's going on in life, and we'll talk about observing as well. But, you know, when my parents or grandparents send me stuff, for instance, because I'm getting married again, they know exactly when the gift is going to be delivered. And they know when it's delivered, and if I don't call, they get their feelings hurt. I only say that because one time I waited a day, and my grandmother was really, not upset, but she had got her feelings hurt. And from my end of it, my experience of the entire situation was she giving a gift to get her own needs met? Or was she giving, you know, to parent herself inappropriately? Or was she giving a gift from a place of interdependence? Was she giving it so I could receive it from a place of love? Or was she giving it so I could take it from a place of codependence so she could get her own needs met, right? So that's a prime example of how this happens nowadays. And if we receive coming from a place of inspiration and validation, we do that in order to develop ourselves through meeting our own needs. So if we give a gift, we don't expect anything in return, right? Because we're giving it so someone can receive it. We're giving it so someone can get their own needs met through the gift or through self-discovery or through whatever we give them, that's giving and receiving. And if you study the work of Walter Russell, he talks about the love principle. Paul talks about this. That's where I learned about it. Paul talks about it probably almost every talk that I hear him talk about. It's about giving and receiving. So you give to the universe receives it, and if you do that, the universe will give back to you, and if you receive it, that's the love principle. And it's coming from that place of interdependence and the self-discovering through oneself. At the same time, we also nurture and learn how to parent to explore the experiences of humility and humbleness, right? So we give and receive, that's humbleness. But when we give and take, you experience the shame of humility from taking it, right? At the same time, we do this to understand the consequences of living in and out of the order of love, right? So many of us as children, we get our needs met. We talked about this a little through our parents, okay? If, for instance, your brother's compliant and your sister's compliant, well, what do? You act in defiance. This is how you get your own needs met. This is how you get acknowledged. And if you look at children nowadays, you know, I can't say I saw it on TV when I was a kid because I didn't really watch too much TV and I wasn't watching the news, but if you look at it nowadays, how many kids are acting out? I bet you the rate of drug abuse in high school kids is through the roof. And same thing with the school shootings. You know, we can say it's SSRIs. We can say it's, you know, all these drugs, which of course it is, but we have to look at the emotional side of it as well. From my perspective, these children are acting out, right? They're coming from a place of defiance. And they're doing it to get their own needs met. They're doing it to become acknowledged. But either way, whether you're compliant or whether you're defiant, you're learning how to parent yourself, right? So there's perfection and the imperfection, per se. At the same time, when it comes to a purpose of nurturing from parenting, we do this to understand the consequences of living in and out of the order of love. We kind of talked about what love is. It's giving and receiving. So many of us as children, I'm sorry, I just said that. Let's rewind a little. Let's look at compassion versus compassion when it comes to nurturing and appropriate parenting. So if we look at compassion, as I stated earlier, compassion comes from the mother. It's that gentle, nurturing side. Compassion is coming from a place of interdependence. Right? It's, if we look at what a mother does, what most mothers do, or I should say supposed to do, when it comes to appropriate parenting, they're there to hold. They're there to nurture us, right? It kind of teaches that path to forgiveness. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, if something went wrong, or I got a bad grade in school, I didn't go to my dad. I went right to my mom, because I know my mom would come from a place of compassion, right? And she would show me that wet path to forgiveness. Now the dad is there for the dynamic of passion, right? Passion is basically the ego's place of coming from a place of dependence, right? Getting your needs met through helping others. So if we look at each one of them, and we kind of compare them, you don't want to have one or the other. You actually want to have both. Okay, you want to learn, you learn compassion from passion and vice versa. So we need to have both in our life, and we need to look at that. We need to look at who is present in our life, compassion mom versus passion dad, and which one are we missing? And that's where the acknowledgement comes in our life. How do we appropriately parent ourselves if one of those is missing? Okay. Another key point when it comes to appropriate parenting and nurturing is to experience passive and active energy exchange between source and the receiver. So Paul talks about this. I'm not positive in what PPS lesson, I can't remember. But he talks about you can't give what you don't have, right? You can't give out what you haven't received. So if you have not allowed your mother, your father, to give you love, right, and you haven't received it, you can't pass that on to your children. So we must learn to receive love. We must learn to receive compassion and passion, right? And not take it. We must learn to discover how to love our mother and father. Basically saying, acknowledge that they're flawed and accept them in any way. So you have to understand that your parents did the best they did the best they could with what they had when it comes to the passive or active energy exchange. And if you look at that, you have to say, well, how did my parents grow up? How did they learn? How did they learn appropriate parenting? How were they taught by their parents to get their own needs met, right? And on, going generation to generation. We can also, if we don't really look at that and acknowledge it, if we don't acknowledge, basically, and discover how to love our mother and father and see that they did the best they could with what they had, we start to make them responsible for why our life is so painful, right? And it has nothing to do with mom and dad because you don't really know your mom and dad. All you know is how you experienced your mother and father when growing up, right? And that's a tough thing for most people to wrap their head around. You know, what I tell my clients is, you know, if someone is upset with you, they don't really know you. They can't be upset with you. They're upset with the experiences of themselves around you at that given time. So if we don't learn to discover our mother and father and be empathetic or understanding, we start to point the finger. And how many people do you know that point the finger? I can tell you from every client that I work with, it doesn't matter if it's nutritional, doesn't matter if they have back pain, parasite, it does not matter. Everyone wants to point the finger, and it just doesn't work like that. From my perspective, everything that happens to you, internally or externally, you've created from either not working on self and ignoring self, or, you know, if your body's always talking to you. Now, if you look at traditional parenting within the family unit, we'll get inside the family now, okay? Parenting is expressed from the position of compliance and defiance. We kind of chatted about that when it comes to nurturing. But your mom and your dad, right, when it comes to that relationship, when you came into their life, the parenting unit, they were a couple, right? Some part of them wanted you, and this might be a little bit hard to wrap your head around, but some part of them didn't want you. Right? Because if you think about it, some part of them had to give up some part of self to have you. And that's, you know, from my perspective, I'm learning how to appropriately parent myself because, you know, I'm getting married in August and we're talking about having kids. Well, I love my job. I don't consider it a job. I love to study. I love to read. I love to mountain bike. I love to travel and teach for the Institute. I like to do all these things, and it scares the living shit out of me because I know to have a child, I actually have to give up part of self. And for someone to say that you don't, they're just fooling themselves because you have to. Someone else is coming into your life. And these children come into your life, and they essentially expect or want unconditional love. So when you look at that from a parenting perspective, that's quite scary. And if we look at, you know, what's going on nowadays, there's tons of single parents, there's tons of kids in orphanages, you know, and there's tons of kids that are growing up that have fathers that, you know, are never home, or mothers that are never home as well, or they're home and they're just not emotionally invested because they haven't learned, A, unconditional love from their parents. They haven't learned appropriate parenting. They haven't learned how to express themselves. So what happens is you come into this relationship and emotionally, and a lot of times subconsciously, you've interrupted it. You've interrupted this relationship, this yin and yang relationship. So that's a tough thing, right? So when it comes to the couple, the tough part about that is if the mother or father doesn't work on that, what happens is the parents essentially believe that their children represent them. So it starts to be a competition to get one's needs met. Another key point when it comes to traditional parenting within the family unit, parenting often does not allow for chronological sequencing. So if we look at that, you know, it's quite typical for the oldest to do the parenting. Or some say it's the youngest that thinks they're in charge. They're always doing the parenting of the family unit. But if you think about it, when it comes to the amount of children in the family unit, the firstborn typically assumes the responsibility of taking care of the entire family. So they step up and essentially try to parent the entire family. Well, that's not appropriate or healthy parenting, because what happens is they start to develop an arrogance about them. Okay, they start to have that entitlement that we kind of talked about earlier. And they start to have all these expectations. So what happens is, because they assume that responsibility, and the parents, the masculine and feminine energy, through inappropriate parenting, okay, teach this child to be an overachiever. And they teach this child to be an overachiever in order to take care of everyone in every single relationship they're involved in. So what you typically see is these people go out and they develop families of friends, families at work, and what they typically do is they're kind of numero uno in every single family order that they're involved in. Another key point is parenting from an unconscious position is giving away the sense of self to the own illusion of control. So it's living through your children. That's probably one of the biggest points that I talk about with a lot of my parents, right? And all parents do this, right? We talked about at some point we have to give up self, right? What do most parents say? Well, these are my kids. And we talked about how most parents somewhat feel or become responsible for all their actions. So if something happens to the child, right, these are my kids, you feel responsible for your child's actions. So whatever happens to the child, you start to be seduced and own the consequences and the emotions of the child. Another thing is the principal objective of any parent is to teach others to parent themselves, right? So not every single parent is never going to agree on how to parent their children or parent someone else, right? But we have to learn to teach our parents, I'm sorry, to teach our kids how to parent themselves. And that's the only thing I think we should all agree on, is that through compassion and through passion, right, through inspiration and through validation, the goal is to create that platform for our kids in order, you know, so they can actually self-discover, so they can learn from their own mistakes, so they can learn from their own consequences, so they can actually think for themselves. I mean, an interesting thing, if you think about it, when it comes to parenting, I actually just did a YouTube clip on this, is that whole thing going on with that child, I think it's in Minnesota, Daniel Hauser, I think that's how you pronounce it, 13 with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Well, the parents, they have a belief system, a Native American belief system, and they don't want to do chemo and radiation because they think it's toxic. Well, now the hospital took them to the courts, and the courts are saying if you don't, then it's child neglect, we'll take your child away, right? Well, my question is, who's asked the child what the child wants? To me, that would be appropriate parenting. Maybe taking a step back and asking the child, do you want chemotherapy and radiation? This is what chemo and radiation are, and this is what they do, right? Do you want herbs and Native American healing and chants and all that? This is what it's all about. And letting the child learn to parent himself and make his own decision. And from that, it doesn't matter if it's positive or negative, because if it's the decision the child made, there's no right or wrong. It's only what's working for the child. And the child is going to learn to parent himself through his own consequences, whether it's, you know, positive or negative. So I think that's a key point when it comes to parenting our children within the family unit. The last key point on that is many people act out the behavior of giving advice to feel the illusion of power. And think about it. We're all in this business of healing. Some of you on the call might be personal trainers. Some of you on the call might be emotional healers. Some are massage therapists. Some are nutritionists. Some are Czech practitioners and some are not. But if you think about it, we're always giving advice, right? We're always giving advice because we're all in this business. We're in the business of taking care of our emotional needs. I mean, think about it. And this is a lesson in Paul's PPS. And this is one of the biggest things that I had to work on and I'm still working on. If someone works with us, we're all happy. If someone signs up, we're all happy. If someone gets better when they're working with us, we're all happy because we're getting our emotional needs met through this other person, right? We project our emotions and we feel it through the person, so it makes us feel good. But think about this. If the client doesn't sign up with you, or if the client wants his money back, which is a huge blow to the ego, or the client doesn't get better, even though you've educated this client, right? What does that do? You don't feel pretty empowered anymore. You get your feathers wet because you have learned to get your needs met through other people, right? You've learned to get your needs met by parenting others and giving advice to get your own needs met. And this is how most people get their feathers wet. And I'm not sure off the top of my head what lesson that is. I want to say it's maybe like 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 around there. But it's a great lesson. And I would say out of the top 5, that was probably my number 3 that I had to work on. And it's still something I have to work on to this day. It's really, really challenging because we're in this business to help people heal. We're always giving advice, right? And it's simple. I mean, if you look at these two phrases, I need to take care of you so you like me, right? We want our clients to like us. We want our clients to give us the best testimonials. It's the biggest blow to my ego, right? And I acknowledge it if a client writes me a great testimonial. And when a client maybe doesn't like my services, which, you know, I have to say doesn't happen, but, you know, it's happened before, well, I have to kind of come from a place of, you know, empathy and learn that this client really doesn't know me. It's not that they don't like my services, right? It's not that they don't like me. It's just they're not enjoying the experience of my services or the experience of myself, and that's it, right? So when we're working with people, we have to look at all the advice we're giving, right? We have to look at it and pierce through that illusion, right, that illusion of power, okay? We have to understand that we can't project onto our clients to get our own emotional needs met. And you can think about that, because I always tell my clients when I teach exercise coach, when I teach Check One or HLC1, you know, clients come to us to learn, right? They think they're coming to us to learn. Same thing every single person that you step in front of. It doesn't matter if you buy a water from someone. But my philosophy is that every single person you come in contact with, even if you look at, right, they're there for a purpose. And they're there to teach you something about yourself. And if we start to look at that, I think we can actually learn to parent ourselves and how to appropriately do it, as well as appropriately parent our clients without creating that illusion of getting our needs met through them. So now let's look at parenting self, right? Just plain old self, not within the family unit, right? And this is what we usually do. We usually, like I said, project it onto others because we don't know how to do it. You see this quite often in the sibling relationship as well as, you know, husband and wife. So self-parenting is expressed from the position of self-survival, self-growth, right? So this is all about the ego. We're always focusing on self-preservation, right? If we think about it, we talk about the chakras. And for some of you that are doing the PPS lessons, if you've done, I think, the first one at least, he talks about the chakras. When you talk about the first chakra, it's all about safety. It's all about security. It's all about self-preservation. That's the root of who you are, right? And that's our goal when it comes to self-parenting, when it comes to childhood and adulthood. It's there and it's expressed through a position of self-survival and self-growth. Because we're invested in the ritual, the bottom line, of taking care of ourselves, right? So if we look at that, how do most people do that? How do most people either do it appropriately or create the illusion, right, that they're actually self-parenting? Well, we do that through structure, right? We do that through finances, which goes gigantically with the first chakra, right? The more money we make, the more in control we feel of ourselves. And if we can take care of ourselves, we feel very powerful. Right? But that can be quite dangerous if not done correctly. It can easily, if we inappropriately parent, drain the first chakra, if we always go after money, right? If we always, if we think financial gain is going to create physical, mental, emotional self-survival and self-growth, well, that's an illusion. Typically what happens in the end is you work, trying to make money, and you kind of superficially feed the chakras, and what happens, you end up in a state of adrenal fatigue because you've drained that first chakra. Parenting self is realizing the neediness of our inner children, the nurturing of our mother and father egos, and creating healthy limits and boundaries from our adult ego. So inside of us, we have our inner child. We have the mother or the feminine energy, that nurturing, inspiring energy. We also have the father, the masculine energy, right? And it's acknowledging it. It's realizing it, okay? It's acknowledging that in you, all three are there, but they're all needy. And in life, we actually move through these as we grow, as we stumble upon things, as we feel like we hit a mountain instead of a molehill, right? This allows us to feel valued and safe as we go through this, because we can relate with the mother, we can relate with the father, and you can relate with yourself. So it's kind of like going down a lit path. You can see where you're going, and it makes you feel safe. But at the same time, in order to grow, in order to learn healthy limits and boundaries, we must come across these places where we get stuck. And when we get stuck, what do most people do? Most people react. Reacting is coming from the ego. We need to take a step back and respond. Take a look at, why do I feel this? Why do I agree with this? Why do I disagree with this? And what part of me internally has these feelings? Is it my inner child? Am I being childish or childlike? Or is it coming from my mother, feminine energy? Or is it coming from my father, masculine energy? And we must learn to come across these, respond, and reparent these different areas. And when we do that, we actually move past them, and we learn from them, kind of like a ladder. So when we come across these places we get stuck, we actually learn from them and move through life and start to see life as a beautiful place. We learn to take a look at our wounds. We learn to take a look at all the times we were a victim, and we learn to actually reparent them, because we're taking a look at who is responsible for these feelings that we're feeling. And when you do that, you learn from the situation. Remember I said, everything that happens in your life or anyone you come across teaches you something. Same thing with the thought, right? I mean, you can get really deep and metaphysical and say, well, everything you think, right, it's like, so you think, there you are. Everything you think, you create. So the question is, right, are you creating everything and everyone in front of you, or is it just happening? Isn't it interesting when you think of something, and the whole car analogy, like seeing a pink car, it's like you saw it and you start thinking about it, and next thing you know, every day for the next week you see a pink car and you've never seen it before. It's because we're creating it. Another key point is parenting self is the capacity to be fully present in the situation as well as an observer of self. So the question is, are you participating in life, or are you stepping back and observing from the edges, right? Do you know how to talk to the pieces and parts of you? So the funny thing is, I mean, think about it. The most quiet time of the day you probably have is when you're driving to work. So when you have all this internal chatter, the best thing for you to do is, like I said, take a step back. Think about where this internal chatter is coming from. Be present with yourself. Try not to think about what was. Try not to think about what could be. And this is probably my number one thing that I'm always working on, because I'm a doer. I'm very passionate about what I'm doing. And I'm passionate about my purpose. But like I said, there needs to be a lot more compassion in my life. There needs to be more of that feminine energy. So I do a lot, and I acknowledge this, to get my needs met, as I stated. So when I drive to work, you know, most people think I'm on the phone. I listen to this internal chatter, and I try to stay present with myself, and I try to observe and see what's going on in my head, and I think about my inner child. I think about my feminine energy. I think about my masculine energy, and I talk to myself. I talk about the pieces and parts of me that agree with what's going on in my head, and I talk to the pieces and parts of me that disagree, and I acknowledge them, and I'm curious, and I try to look behind the language to figure out why this is going on in my head. And personally, that's probably been the most valuable thing. It's kind of like when you meditate. Same exact thing. Don't try to fight what's going on in your head. Everyone says, I can't meditate. There's so many things going on in my head. That's the point of meditation. That's the point of meditation. It's to be present with yourself. Listen to what's going on. Be curious. Agree. Disagree. Let it flow through you and learn from it. It's there to teach you a lesson. It's your body talking to you. But a lot of the times, we perceive that stuff as negative. The funny thing is, you experience it as negative, but how do you know it's negative? If you learn from it, it's actually not negative. It's teaching you the very things you need to learn to move beyond, to learn how to parent yourself and parent your kids and your inner child. So that's a huge one that I'm working on myself. Another key point is parenting self is the sensitivity to notice the many aspects of life that previously were not recognized or valued and hold a place of curiosity, right? And I kind of talked about this, but think about it. You know, when you're a child, we'll talk about two different things, right? We'll talk about, like, church or religion. You know, I was brought up Jewish, so there was that expectation that I have to go to temple. I had to go. I didn't really want to go, okay? But I had to recognize and be a little curious as a kid, because that's what children do. So I had to go to temple, listen to the rabbi, you know, and I have to be honest, I was completely bored. But I had to do it to learn, to be curious, to see if I actually wanted to follow it or not. But at the same time, it can actually teach us in a negative way, because we learn through these different religions that, you know, if you don't do this, this will happen. If you don't do that, that will happen, right? So if we go against it, then we hold the burden of, you know, a sinner because we're going against it. But we have to stay open to curiosity. And I came to the conclusion from that curiosity that just because my parents were Jewish and I had to go to temple, I learned that I didn't want to go. And I learned through that curiosity that, you know, Judaism's great, nothing against it. It just didn't align with my belief system. It was personally too closed off to fit into my belief system. But I learned that from being curious. I didn't learn it from being judgmental. I didn't learn it from being non-compassionate and being unempathetic. I learned it from being compassionate, from being empathetic, and seeing and really being curious to see where and why, you know, the things they were saying, where it's coming from and what it meant. And I learned how to appropriately parent myself and make my own decisions through actually doing that, through going there when I didn't even want to. So sometimes keeping an open mind, and I don't mean give yourself away, but sometimes keeping an open mind to parent yourself to learn from these situations can be a huge value in life. So let's take a look at parenting others, because we've got like 15 minutes left, and I'll... How much time do you want me to leave for questions, if there are any? Like maybe
10 minutes would be kind of ideal. But, you know, if we want to go a little bit longer, that's certainly not a problem.
Okay. So if we look at parenting others, we need to understand the consequences of parenting others. We need to realize when we parent and offer surrender the parenting process of self, right? So when we look at over-parenting, so we have, you know, appropriate parenting, but most people overparent themselves or their children. So when you do this, for instance, we'll talk about yourself or your clients, because it's probably most people on this line should be working on themselves and not thinking about their clients, because we talked about can't give what you don't have. And I think I said this last time, but I'll repeat it again because I think it's valuable. You know, I've done the PPS lessons. I do a lot of internal work. The biggest thing is when you do these when you read a book, when you listen to these audio programs, when you do anything, try to learn it for yourself. Because when you learn it for your clients, to help your clients, you're learning it so you can parent your clients. I hope that makes sense. That's a huge thing that I learned from Paul a couple years ago, because I'm really passionate about what I do, but I was learning to help my clients instead of help myself. And when I made that switch, it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable what happened to me personally, what happened to me professionally, and what happened to me spiritually. So when you study and learn for your children or your clients, you're over-parenting. You over-parent them. And when you do that, the person themselves will give up parenting themselves. So think about this. When you're helping your clients, the last thing you want to happen is for your client to give up parenting themselves. And what's going to happen if you do that, you're going to create a hell of a child or a hell of a client, because when they give up, they learn to essentially dislike life or hate life, and the problem is they start to make you responsible for whatever happens in their life, and they point the finger. You know, it's your fault. I hate you because it's your fault, you know, and on and on. So you have to learn how to appropriately parent your children or your clients, because if you over-parent them, subconsciously most people will give up, and they won't parent themselves because they know they'll get it from you because they expect it, like we talked about earlier. Excessive parenting of others reveals an internal dialogue that typically says, I'm not enough to parent myself, right? I need someone else, my mother, my father, my practitioner, right, to rescue me. And the only way I'm going to feel good enough is to work with my practitioner. And think about this. How many people do you know that say, that subconsciously, and you can look around, make assumptions, make judgments, just acknowledge them. How many people will sign up to work with you and they think just because they sign up to work with you, or they tell their little clique of girlfriends at home that they're working with a personal trainer or an emotional coach or an HLC, that they think subconsciously because they're working with you that they're going to actually get better. And it's because they've taught to basically get their needs met through other people. The only way they can feel good, right, is through someone else, is to be rescued through someone else. And if you don't learn how to appropriately parent these people and you start to over-parent them, you have a client that is your worst nightmare because they email you all the time. They call you all the time, right? And a lot of you are probably thinking, oh, my God, I have this one client that's exactly like this. And I see it all the time with practitioners. A lot of them can't stand their clients because their clients email them constantly or call them constantly. And from my perspective, once again, like I said, you've created that. You create everything in your life. You have taught your client how to essentially get their needs met through you. So essentially, you can't be upset with your client. You need to take a step back and learn how to parent yourself so you can learn how to parent your, or not over-parent the client. Getting others to parent us is the external dialogue of the internal victim. I'll say that again. Getting others to parent us is the external dialogue of the internal victim. Right? And that means, you know, typically if you can't make a decision, right, it's because you don't trust your own judgment. So if you can't make a decision, you don't trust your own judgment, what happens? You get advice. And this is probably one of my number three things that I was working on and still work on. You know, I was brought up, I was a mama's boy, got constantly inspired by my mother, but, you know, it was more inappropriate parenting. She did it to get her own needs met, and that's just my experience of it. But it taught me really not how to make, it really taught me not how to make decisions and not really trust myself, because everything I did was through my parents or through my mother. More say, was through her eyes, was through her ears, right, was through her mouth, everything I said. So I always went to her for advice, right? But I lost my own sense of self, I lost my own choice, right, to make that choice and to learn how to parent myself. And last but not least, learning the appropriate language of parenting, which is huge. We'll go over two key points, and there's a lot of more key points. This is only an hour, but, you know, there's a lot to this. But if you start with just what I put out there and you really sit down and work at it, it's quite amazing the mental, emotional, and physical changes that can happen from appropriately parenting yourself and not giving yourself away. So if you look at the language of parenting, you know, a key point is, and we kind of chatted about this, but choose not to judge your parents. Don't judge their behavior, because their behavior, right, and if you judge it, basically is your own interpretation. It's your own experience of your mom and dad. And same thing with yourself. Don't judge yourself, because all you do is shaming yourself, and you create that vicious cycle of internal blame and shame. At the same time, you don't know really what your mom and dad said. It's, once again, only how you experienced it. So you really can't judge your parents. You have to really look at the message from your parents. You have to look at the message from your grandparents, because their real goal, or your parents' real goal, is for you to live well and be healthy, right? Parents do the best they can with what they have. They do the best with what they have physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, because they learn from their parents. Their parents learn from their parents, and on and on and on. And if you think about it, we'll kind of get a little deep here, but not too deep. All these people are standing behind you, right? They're all standing behind you, wanting you to live well and wishing you the best, right? And they're doing it because on their account, they suffered so you can live well. They suffered, so if you take a step back to learn from these people, to acknowledge how they parented you, to acknowledge how they parented you, but how to learn to reparent yourself, to acknowledge that they did the best they can with what they have, you learn from that. So they suffered, essentially, so you can live well. Right, they might not have what you had. They might not have had, you know, a PPS program. They did the best with what they had. So they essentially suffered so you could live well. So the key with the appropriate parenting is acknowledgement. It's like I talked about. Talk to yourself. Listen to that internal chatter. Think about who's speaking to you. Is it your mother? Is it your father? Is it your grandparents? Is it your inner child? Is it your ego? Learn from this internal chatter. Interpret it. Take a step back and try to take it in, let it flow through you, and learn how to reparent yourself through that internal chatter. So I know that's 1 hour of me talking, which is a lot for me to hear myself talk for an hour. But are there any questions out there or confusions that I can answer for people when it comes to appropriate parenting of self, others, nurturing from parenting, things like that?
Well, it sounds like there's a lot to meditate on.
I feel you on that one.
Yeah. That's all right. They have your website, and I'll give the website address again if they have questions after I've thought about it a bit. And they can always get in touch with you through our website, too.
Right. Yep.
Great. Well, that was fascinating stuff, and as I said, a lot to meditate on. Plenty for me to meditate on too. So, thank you for your time. That was great, Josh.
I appreciate it, and I'll be back. I don't know my next topic, but I'll be back probably in next quarter to do another. Teleseminar, and at the same time, I pop up an article every quarter for PPS, and I typically will do an article on my teleseminar. So my next article coming out will be on appropriate parenting. So you can always stay tuned for that if you want to read the article and listen to the audio and kind of use both to learn from.
Right, and you have quite a few hours on your website this evening, actually, and you have quite a few other resources on your site, audio recordings and articles and stuff. That's a lot there to listen to and read.
Yeah, we just actually, it's going to be uploaded this week. We invested some money, and there's going to be an article manager, so there's probably about 50-plus, easily, articles on the website. We're uploading formal audio programs. There's probably about 20 audio programs. It's a huge resource page, YouTube page, blog. So it's I design it for a resource so people can learn from it through my experiences of working with clients.
Great. Well, I really want to encourage anyone that feels as though they could benefit from Josh's coaching to have a look at his mentor profile on our website at www.ppssuccess.com or certainly on his website at www.eastwesthealing.com as well. And yeah, thanks again. And we're looking forward to, of course, having you on next quarter as well. And we have a few more mentor teleclasses left for this quarter. Next week, on June 1st, we'll have Dr. Brian Allman, who's going to be talking about how to lose weight and keep it off. That's June 1st at 6 p.m. So that's the next in our series. But thanks again, Josh, for joining us. And we'll look forward to having you on again next quarter.
Thanks again. Have a good day.
Thanks, Josh. Thanks, everybody.
Thank
hope
you.
To hear you soon on our next call.
Bye-bye.